As we open our prayer time, Bible time, you might like to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 43. And in our study of Jeremiah, and at this point, Nebuchadnezzar headed down to Jerusalem, ultimately to destroy it. And in the process, the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, and Judah are not too, they're going to be clipped, but they aren't too eager, interested in looking to God. And Jeremiah, among others, is admonishing them to do so, but they are not doing so. And so, to pick up the flavor of chapter 10 of Jeremiah, in Isaiah chapter 43, picking up, please, in verse 10, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." Reason: that you may know and believe and understand what? That I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There isn't any. Over, if you would, to chapter 44. In chapter 44, picking up again the mood and movement, verse 6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There is no God beside me, none whatsoever." Verse 24. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb." He's the one, he's the creator. "I am the Lord that maketh all things," or everything, "stretcheth out forth the heavens alone." No one else did it. All those billions and trillions of stars. "Heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." No one else helped me. I did it all by my lonesome. Now, picking up chapter 45. In chapter 45, in verse 5. "I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no other God, in no other place, in no other way." Thus, chapter 45, verse 20. "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that have escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save them. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, all everywhere in every place. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that every unto me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." Everyone is going to have to acknowledge that I am the only God. Now, that's the problem. People don't like the thought that God is only God. That's hard. We have choices, people, variety, all kinds of things. But to realize that God alone is God, that's hard. People don't like that. Not comfortable with that. Because it takes away from them. It takes away from them what? Let's go see. Over, if you would, please. And remember now, God, as we do this, that the all of creation, we read it in Isaiah 44, all of creation, God stretched out the heavens, the whole, there's nothing anywhere, no one anywhere, including the angels, that God didn't create. So there's just isn't anything, anyone. He alone is the creator, the only creator, and all creation is his. Therefore, it is no wonder and no marvel that he seeks to be found, to be acknowledged and honored and reverenced as the creator of all of his own creation. So that is not strange. So when we read in Romans 1, as we did, 19 and 20, etc., that all creation bears witness to who he is, and people didn't want to do that, so they went and turned away from him. They didn't want to honor him, because that's what they'd have to do. You have to honor him. If he's the only one, and he's the only creator, and everything is created, is made by him. And therefore, all of creation, as we shared last time, that there's no way to study anything in this world without coming to grips with the Creator. In my very small movement, you won't find, I can't think of any subject on earth that if you study it, you're going to have to come to grips with God. I just don't know any. Everything is awesomely awesome. Just think of your own body. And that we have a thing that we didn't have 1,000 years ago. And you talk about DNA. And DNA, the hell, you know, the twisting down. And they do that. And the DNA contains a whole world upon world upon world of information. And it is able to reproduce itself. From animals, all kinds of things. That's awesome. Awesome indeed. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God, you're the only one. And it's very hard for people to recognize that God's alone. God alone is he. Who he is, he is. Now, over in, if you would, and remember now, on your way there, go over to the book of Genesis. Genesis and chapter 4. And let's come going back and come forward. And you are going to recall, as we do this, that God made it very clear to the Israelites, right up front, book of Exodus, chapter 20, they're at Mount Sinai, and you'll remember the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment, don't make anything, anyone, anywhere in my image or likeness. Don't bow down, do not serve anything, anywhere, anyone, anyhow. Don't serve anything, anyone. Of all of my creation, don't make my creation equal to the Creator. Don't do that. It's absolutely forbidden. And when you make something in creation equal to or higher than or other than, take the place of God, something or someone, that is called idolatry. Idolatry. Now, keep that in mind, because we want to look at it. And here in Genesis chapter 4, You would remember they're very familiar with Adam and Eve. So you don't want Adam and Eve are very familiar with God, I should say. And being very familiar with God and God, period, there is no religion, there is no anything, just them and God. And they're able to have a unique personal relationship with a personal God in a personal way. Now, and thus comes along all of the people born then from Adam and Eve, including Abel and Cain. And remember, Cain slew Abel because Abel honored God, and Cain did not want to honor God. He didn't feel he had to honor God, and he didn't. Genesis chapter 4. Now, what did Cain do? Well, Cain was punished for his killing of Abel, and thus you would recall in Genesis 4, in verse 11, now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. In other words, the earth is going to carry a testimony of what you've done. Verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And remember, a fugitive is the statement to be driven about, to be moving to and fro, to be a wanderer, a fugitive. And a vagabond is another word that adds to it. It means to rove about, to move about. So it means you don't stay still. You're like a nomad. You can't find any location. You can't settle down. And you have to be in the move. Now that's the judgment. And in the light of that, verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. Now, he's instead of having a comfortableness like Adam and Eve had before God, he did not have that. And thus he would be driven out from the presence of God, the face of God, the enjoyment of God, underlined, face, enjoyment, presence. To enjoy the presence of a person. You can be in a person's presence and not enjoy their presence. Now, so here he is, and he doesn't want to move. He doesn't want to be a fugitive. He doesn't want to be a vagabond. He doesn't want to do that. And so therefore, what does he do? Verse 14 down to verse 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And it's now he's going to stay there. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now remember the word building, the verb building in verse 16, is a part, he's building a building, building a city, and it's never finished. It isn't say it was built. It was being built. What is the purpose of the city, as you read? The purpose of a city is to be able to go and to bring people together that they can provide everything apart from God, because they bring all their wares, their tools, their products, they bring it all together, and they're able to dwell very comfortably and capably among themselves in a city, and they don't have to think about God having to meet their need or God having to find God or look to God. So therefore, they build the city, and he's building a city, and that's what he does. Hang on to that, because he doesn't want to be a nomad. He doesn't want to wander or be a vagabond. He doesn't want to do that. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so that now he's, as a fugitive, as we said, a vagabond, doesn't want to do it. Now, over if you would please, going to move down the corridor of time, if you would, over, and people are being born and all things are happening. Remember now, there's all these people being born. He's building a city. And we have no other cities coming. So the building, big city. And in chapter 6, Genesis in chapter 6, and picking up if I can, in chapter 6, you will recall of the, remember that people are multiplying, many, many people, and they're in the one place. They aren't in 10 places, they're just there, and many, many, many of them. And being all together, and there's God, and in the process, there's no religion, there's no competition, just humans and God. Very clear, humans and God. Now, what are we going to do? Well, we aren't comfortable, and so, as humans, what do we do? As we are going, our old nature is going to kick in more and more. And as it does, if you would, Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So, God, what is humanity doing year after year after year? Is it turning to you? Is it looking to you? No. It's getting harder and harder. Their heart is to look to God. They aren't looking to God. They're finding comfort among each other, with each other. And in the process of that, there is all of the human nature seeking to play king of the mountain for power, for possessions, for privilege. And there's people at odds with each other in this great crowd of people. And thus, when you slide down, as you evil continually, the end of verse 5, now slide down to verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. So they have corrupted them. Verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come unto me, for the earth is full of violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So, God, here we are, and we aren't looking, but we're leaving you out, and we're all there, but we have an old nature, pride, power, position. What are we doing? We're looking, we're going to fight. You got this, and I'm going to take it from you. Violence. So it's a very, very, like our world, only back then. So now, having that kind of thing, if you would, in your mind, and so God, remember the flood, Noah's built an ark, and 8 people got on the ark. And so when they got on the ark, and they got off the ark, the 8 people all had an old nature. They all had that old nature. So, but saved. Noah was saved, etc. And so this, some are saved anyway. And in the process, they get off, and they have an old nature, so they're all going to produce children. Now, all the children are going to have the same old nature. That's right. Same old nature that they had before the flood. But what's going to be different? Something's going to be a little different. Same crowd is going to multiply. It's like trying to cure cancer. You take out part of it, but not all of it. And thus it's going to keep going. It just keeps going. Just keeps going. Because you didn't get it all. And so the old nature's there. They all were in the ark. They got out of the ark. And they keep going with the same thing. So now, over if you would, in Genesis chapter 5 for a moment. Genesis 5. So all these people now. God, in his wonderful grace, chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. God's the creator. In the likeness of God made he them, in his image and likeness. Adam and Eve are made in the image and likeness of God. Adam and Eve sinned, and thus the relationship stopped. And so now you've got a problem because the humanity passes on the sin nature in all of its fullness. So now when you slide down, God's going to give a genealogy now, a movement of history. So what are humans? Adam and Eve are in the image and likeness of God, but sin comes along and that changes. In what? Chapter 5 and I'll read verse 2 and then 3. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and he begat a son, Adam did, in his own likeness. So Cain, Seth, Abel, all of them have that old nature. They all need a Savior. Abel is looking to understand that. Cain is not. I'll read verse 3 again. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, not Christ, the image of Adam, passed on the Adamic nature, and called his name Seth. So now we've got a group of people that get out of the ark. They all have this old nature. And what are they going to do when they get out of the ark? Well, you remember and you recall Genesis 11. Genesis 11 and picking up in verse 4. 11:4. What are the people? They're all gathered together again. They're all gathered together again. Why? Because that's what they did before the flood. They were all together before the flood, in one language, one everything, and they're all together after the flood. That's the only thing they know. That's what they have in their mind and heart, experience. And so now, and what are they going to do? Well, you know, verse 4, 11:4. And they said, go to, let us build us a city. A city, and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven or the heavens, and let us make us a name. What is the problem, you guys? Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole world. We don't want to be scattered. Adam, Cain didn't want to be a nomad. So what did he do? He built the city and built all the people around him so it would be supportive. I mean, how's God going to do anything if everyone's with me? That's the purpose of religion. Get enough people and you can sort of hide among the people. And in the process now, so they didn't want to be scattered. They didn't want to be scattered. And they're going to build a city. But they did have a city, but they don't. They got to build a new one. And this time, they're adding a tower to go up to the heavens. That's what they're going to do, to add a tower to go up into the heavens. Now, over a few, and remember now, God's going to go, if I can, picking up, well, you're right here anyway, in verse 8, chapter 11. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now the city wasn't finished, and Cain never finished the city. They never finished the city. They didn't finish the city either. They didn't do it. There's never been a city, we've shared it 100 times. There's never been a city that has been able to keep and meet all the needs of humanity without it going kaput. There will be a new Jerusalem, but not until then. So humans are building, to being together, and in the process, that's what they did, and God scattered them. They didn't want to be scattered. And when they were scattered, what do they all have in their head? We all have one city, and we're all going to go out, Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to have all our new locations on planet Earth, and what are we going to do? More cities. Not only more cities, religions. We never had religions until after the Genesis flood. And now you've got religion going up to look at the stars, like Romans chapter 1, 19, 20, 21, 22. We look up, God, we don't want to have to honor you, so we're going to honor what we can see, hear, feel, touch somehow, and we want to do that. Hang on, we'll address that in a second. Here we are looking at all of that, and we're going to do that. Now, that's what we're going to do. We're going to build a tower up there. So now, over in the light of that building a tower, over, if you would please, to, over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Israel, of all people, the book of, remember Deuteronomy. You got to go back. Here's the book of Exodus. And Exodus, at the moment, they go to Mount Sinai, and God thunders off his wonderful voice, and they listen to it. They all heard. All those 2.5 million people heard. Now what do they hear? The book of Exodus, chapter 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make anything in heaven and earth, above earth, below earth, anywhere. Don't make anything anywhere and take my place. Don't serve, don't worship, don't honor, don't do anything. The minute you do, you're in trouble. Now, Deuteronomy had that. The Egyptians didn't have it. Deuteronomy, Israel had it for 40 years, a book of Deuteronomy. So now, picking up, please, what was the problem? That Israel had to overcome becoming idolatrous, which is the problem in Jeremiah chapter 10. They got locked into idolatry. So now, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and just to touch the flavor of it, you don't want to go, and I don't want you going, and they're going to build a tower, so you're tying the tower up to the heavens to get to closer to God, closer to the universe, whatever it is that makes us. Chapter 4, and picking up, please, in verse 19. And lift up thine, lest, I'll read verse 18, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of them, shouldst be driven to what? To worship them. And serve them, the very thing you shouldn't do, and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. So here they are honoring the whole, chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, again, just locking it in. They were not to worship the stars, the moon, and but people were doing it, like the tower in Genesis 11. Chapter 17 and in verse 3 directly, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, neither the sun or moon or any other host or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. So you shall not worship anything in heaven and earth above. And they built a tower in order to violate that, because they're going to get to the gods, little g, that they've made, of the stars, of this, everything else out there, that all the things we can see, the gods of that somehow in creation, and remember that's how we got back with it when we did a study of demons, that's where that came from. And in the light of that, you would recall, having said that, so here we are looking and having idols, and they aren't there until after the Genesis flood, when we really get into doing our stuff religiously. And that's what happens. You get all kinds of religion and idols and things that they ought to do. And Israel was doing them in more or less. And you remember and recall, like it says in Ezekiel and chapter 14, verse 3, etc. You may want to turn there, though, just to make sure. Ezekiel and chapter 14, which you know. And in chapter 14, picking up the thought, remember now, man, before the Genesis flood, there are no idols. There's just plain human nature acting and reacting among our humans, avoiding and leaving God out of the picture. Now, hanging on to that. So now we have humans, instead of they have developed, because they don't want to, they can't get along with God. Cain can't get along without God. Cain can't survive. God, we cannot survive. You are the Creator. There's no way, anywhere, anyhow, that we can possibly fulfill the reason of our existence apart from you. And if you tell me I'm going to be hidden from your face, your presence, that's not good. So I've got to go and make something happen to compensate for your absence, and I'm going to build a city, etc., etc. Now, having done that, who did that? Cain, you did. In the Tower of Babel, they were all together. Who did that? The humanity gathered around in one, having one language. When they were scattered, they all went everywhere, and they were going to do what they were used to doing. And since they were all scattered, and they didn't want to be scattered again, so they now, having each language and all the other aspects that made them different, all over the world, and they built cities and religions. Cities and towers, religions. And that's what they did. And where did it all come from? Chapter 14, and in verse 3, Son of Man, these men have set up their idols, in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. They put the same idol in front of them. Should I be inquired of all, at all by them? In other words, am I supposed to listen to people that are looking to sun, moon, stars, beast, animals? Should I look to them who are calling me, calling a donkey God, calling stars God? Should I look to them and honor them? Well, no. Chapter 14, verse 4. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel, the world's out there doing its thing, but Israel should know better, that setteth up his idols, where do you start them? In the heart, in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block, that means you made the idol and put it out in front of you, the religious system, putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart. Why? Because they are all estranged from me. How come? What made it happen? You went and put something or someone, your idols, in front, in place of me. And you lost. And they all are created by man. And thus with that in mind, keeping that, over, if you would please, to Jeremiah and chapter 10. And remember, the key, historically, for God's people, because the world has already pursued that, in, you don't have to turn there, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, when we call evil good and good evil, when we call darkness light, and light darkness, when we call bitter sweet and sweet bitter, when we turn everything upside down, when we turn it around so that we call darkness light. And darkness, darkness conceals, light reveals. If I call darkness light, then all that I see in the dark as I want to see it, I can call anything, anywhere, God. I can take any kind of philosophical, academic kind of thinking, and I can do what I want with it, no question. In the dark, I'm going to call it light. And since I call dark light, what I am seeing and wanting in my heart, I call right. It's right. Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, Islam, it's right. In the dark. In the dark. It's right. And in the light, you guys that say the Bible and God, who can understand Bible and God? Bible and God are in the dark, and therefore they're concealed, and I don't need to know them or understand them. Now, having said that little bit, Jeremiah chapter 10, and picking up, if I can, in the light of that, chapter 10, remember in the light of it all, I should preface it a little bit. Here's Israel. Israel has adopted the idolatry of the nations around it. They have honored the nations in its idolatry in their own. They wanted to be like the nations, and they are in the worst way in their idolatry. God, here you are. You're leaving Israel smack dab, and you didn't stop. You aren't going to stop Nebuchadnezzar. Nope, you're going to let him come all the way down and destroy Jerusalem. Uh-huh. And so, God, you're going to let the world system, Babylon, you're going to let the world system conquer. I am. You're going to let it come. And you're going to let the satanic system that runs the world system do its thing. I am. You're going to let our old fallen nature, their old fallen nature, you're going to let that do, believe, and get all kinds of frustrated with trying to work things out apart from God. Are you going to let that continue? I am. And I want you to know, what I have done in being God, being who I am, I'm the only God. And when people, whosoever's, will look to me and trust me, there is nothing, no one, anywhere that can overcome me. Understand? So God, are you going to let the world? Uh-huh, I am. God, protect us. No. I want you to know that I'm able, as God, the Creator. Do you understand that? That's what they didn't understand. They didn't want to understand it. And that's what would save them. God said, what I have done and who I am is quite able to handle anyone, anywhere, anything that comes against you. And I've let it all come out there, and I'm not stopping it. So that you show by trusting me, and I'll show them who I am. All you got to do is trust me. I'm not going to stop them. Are you going to trust me? I'm bigger than they are. What I've done on the cross for you when I died is enough to save you to the uttermost. So now, you're either going to trust me or you're not. That's what's going to happen. And I'm not going to stop it. I just want to know if you're going to trust me. That's what I want you to prove. I could stop it if I thought it was more than you could handle. But it isn't more than you can handle. It isn't God. There are no gods. It's only idolatry. God's foolishness. And we can't get to it because of time. But you pick it up in verse 8. They are altogether, what are these things? They are altogether brutish. And brutish has to do with what? It has to do with a brute, animal, beast, living in the field, eating and drinking. The average cow, the average cow out in the field doesn't care about good or bad, does it? They're brute beast. That's what they are. They have no interest in good or bad. They just do. Ah, that's the word brutish. And the English word that you may not, the English word translation of that is stupid. That's the correct word for it, stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Beast, to be a beast. People that get into idolatry are stupid. So you have to be careful how you use that, of course. You know, if you're with a bunch of Muslims in Yemen, and you want to say what you're doing is stupid, I would suggest you have a very super-duper helicopter in case you have to move very quickly. Now, but it is stupid. It's stupid. And it's a contrariety. It's a stupid. There's no gods. No idols. One God. We don't like it. We don't like it. One God, and they got to honor him. That's correct. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so you're going to let all of the darkness come against us like we shared the other day? I'm not going to make it go away. You live in a world of darkness. I leave you in a world of darkness. I leave you in a world of darkness to be a light in the middle of the darkness. So I want you to do that. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid. Verse 5. They are upright idols as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born or carried because they won't move. They don't have the power to move because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. They're just plain things you made. And they're no better than you are. And that's why you have the statement down in verse 8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. Foolish adds, gives a oomph to the word brutish and takes it a step further. They're firmly set. They're stupid and they're foolish. They're firmly set in being stupid. They don't want to be smart. They're locked into it. Wow. They don't want to grow. And it's the world. Genesis 6, that's what happened. Genesis 11, God was gracious and scattered them, but they didn't change. And so here they are. Here's Israel. Should have known better, but it doesn't. And in the process, the stalk is a doctrine of vanities. And if you're looking for the idol, the religion you make, to give you good instruction on how to live, how to die, why you're here, to handle your problems in a daily life. If you're looking for your idolatry, your idols, whatever they are, if you're looking for them to help you, I'll give you another way to do that. I'm going to use the word Allah. Allah. And people by the thousands, millions, down they go. Wow. To Allah. Now, and if we could go among the caliphs and all of them out there, and we go to the bestest, smartest people out there, and tell me, what does Allah say about this? Allah. Not Muhammad, not the Quran. What does God say? What does God say to you? How does God comfort you? How does God give you instruction to go from A to B to C and end up all right, to come out right instead of wrong? How does that happen with Allah? When's the last time Allah ever said anything that said anybody? When did Buddha say anything? When did Confucius say anything? When did all the gods of India say anything? The gods and reincarnation of that. So here's the rats and the cows and the bulls running around in India. Remember, you don't want to hit them because you have to knock over a god, so you have to be careful. And I don't know whether they fine you for knocking over a cow, but anyway, you have all of that. And then what do they do? They're nothing. They're nothing. So we could do it. You have better illustration than I do. You know all that stuff better than I do. God, there is no answer to it. No, there isn't any. Nope. They cannot instruct you. All their instruction, you're looking for a piece of wood to teach you. A stalk, a piece of wood. Now, when is a piece of wood going to teach you? Here's a wood. Sit there and give yourself to it. Worship, bend down, put flowers out, put money out, bend down. When's the wood going to help you? That's what the verse is. The vanity of a piece of wood for instruction. How foolish can you be? And thus we have the word brutish, which is stupid. It's just plain stupid. That's all. In the light of being only one God. It's stupid. Now, God, here we are looking. And if I can, in verse 6, remember, in as for as much as there is none like thee, God, you're the only one. Thou art great. No question about that. Thy name is great in might. No question about that. The greatness and mightiness, omnipotence of yourself. Verse 7. Who would fear thee, O King? Who would fear thee, O King of nations? God, why don't wise men ought to go and look to you? Your wise knowledge, knowing, all wisdom, management of your creation. All of it, creation is running a course. And the world system and satanic system and God, your wonderful plan to all work everything. And people come and go and live on planet Earth. And they move and they as the time goes, as we all go down the corridor of time, and the sun shines and the sun sets, and the years go by, and the count days go by, and the hours go by, and people live and people die, and God, here we are going down, and no one's paying, is anyone going to pay attention? That we aren't lasting, we can't outlast, we can't outrank you, God, we can't outlive you, God, we can't do anything to overcome you. All of our idols and all of our system is useless in doing anything to help us. So God, here we are. Now, God, you got to help us. And God is quite willing to do that. And thus, in verse 7, who would fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. Remember, it is fitting, it is agreeable, it is right, meet. For you, it is right for you to be who you are, King of Kings, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, in all their kingdoms, there is none like thee. So if we take every wisest people ever, the geniuses of forever, the people that invent, the people that know, the people that understand, if we bring them all together, in all of forever, in all of history, and bring them all together, you'll never find a person like you, God. He said, I'm the only one, I'm the only Savior, and I hope you understand that. So you don't have to go searching up and down the street in the phone book. You don't have to go all over finding someone. Is there someone somewhere to help me? Yes, there is. Called God. And you don't have to do any more searching. You have to do a trusting. Don't search. But I got to find an answer. There must be someone somewhere. There is. Namely, God. And if you're going to search, you'll never find an answer. Never. Because all you're going to do is search among vanities. And that, everything out there is stupidly trying to take my place. And none of it can take my place. None of it. Now, we didn't get very far, but a little different closing. Over, if you would, to get our word brutish, over in Psalm 73. I hope you got a little bit to understand, because if you don't, we're just looking at idols, and we know they don't talk, and we know they don't have power, and so what? No, it's more than that. It's more than that. I said, I want to understand better than that about this idol business. So now, Psalm 73. And you'll remember in verse 1, the believing heart, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, what about you? My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In other words, the people of the world seem to have more, got the cities, got all their cities, all their systems, they got their systems. They don't have saviors, they have a system, and the system more and more takes the place of the saviors. They become a savior in essence to them. And they're looking for that. But the believer should be looking to God. Humans should be looking to the only God there is, the only savior there is. But they aren't doing that. They aren't doing that because they're looking to the system. We have it. We have all kinds of things. Actually, you would have to think Back, some of you can't even remember back when you didn't have a smartphone, when you didn't have a cell phone, when you had to have a land phone. Remember the land phone? You crank? You don't remember it because it's not part of your thing. Well, we've always had everything, and the system can create a cure for everything. Just give it time. We're trusting it. A new test, a new part, be able to give you a new neck, metal shoulders, metal legs. Let's call the robot. You didn't even need to be born. All you need to do is buy a robot. Now, so in the process of all of that, so God, we're envious, we're looking, and I'm all caught up, because I'm getting caught up. God, they have everything, it seems to work, and here I am. God, what am I supposed to do? Am I joining them? No, I can't do that. Therefore, verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Boy, I hated to think about all the whole stuff. It was just hard. Until what? I went into the sanctuary. I went into the sanctuary belonging to God. And when I got in the presence of God, I understood their end. And all of a sudden, God put light in the darkness in my little life. And now I'm going to slide down. Sliding if they can. Verse 20. As a dream when one awakens, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. I was so bothered, God, that I did and thought and messed up everything, and I didn't give you the wonderful, simple credit for being who you are. Thus, my heart, verse 21, my heart was grieved, I was pricked in my reins, my innards, my gut, my heart. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Do you see the word beast? That is the word brutish. Beast. That's a noun. Brutish. Noun. Brutish. Beast. You're a beast. I was as a beast. What do you mean? Brutish. I didn't care. They don't care. They don't just come and go. Good, bad. What do they care? We just keep going. Do what we can. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, God, I confess, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. God, you're always God, always present, right? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. God, I need it. Boy, have I got to get straightened out, God. Afterward, God, I'm going to walk through, I'm going to trust you, and afterwards you're going to receive me to glory. And by the way, God, you know what's interesting? It isn't the streets of gold. It isn't having a brand new body. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee, God. You're the only God and the only Savior. I'm happy now, content with your wonderful person. And I'm going to be happy there with your person. That's why I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to be happy about anything else. You make the difference, God. And God said, I try to tell you that. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't get into idolatry. Don't get into foolishness. And your intellect, your brain, your coming, your going. You're going to lose out. Because you're making something or someone equal to me. And there's no one equal to me whatsoever. God, you're trying to tell, Jeremiah is going to go to prison. They're going to try to kill him because he's telling them this. They don't want to hear it, but it is true. Wow. So you might have a particular prayer request as we go to prayer.